The American Rifle Company Barlock System, M1As, and preparing for matches this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday, our first question comes from Chip, and Chip asks, thoughts on the American Rifle Company Barlock System? Well, Chip, we took a look at the ARC Barlock while we were at the SHOT Show this year, and it looks like a really interesting system. I'm really interested in its use with their actions, but it also can be used on other rifle actions, and what it basically does is it combines a recoil lug and a barrel retainer system in a manner that allows you to change your barrel out with something as simple as an Allen key. This is really exciting to me for a couple of reasons. First of all, if you have several different cartridges with the same bolt head, it makes it very quick and easy to go from, say, a match caliber like a 6 Dasher or 6 Creedmoor down to something that you can train with and get a lot of mileage out of, like a 308 Winchester. So again, it is a really interesting setup overall. What I would like to do, and what we may talk to American Rifle Company about later on, is getting in one of the nucleus actions with the Barlock system on it to really give us the best of both worlds, to be able to swap out to other calibers really quickly. And on the pure match side of things, even if you don't want to swap calibers, it really gives you the opportunity to have a riflesmith cut several barrels for you with the same reamer and the same specs and everything at the same time. And then you have those barrels in reserve, so when you shoot out a barrel, you can very easily just unscrew the barrel that's on the rifle, screw the new barrel in, and go. So it is a really neat system. I haven't done any experimentation with it and haven't heard any reports on how well the return to zero is on it. So those are questions that I'd really like to answer going forward. So hopefully we'll be able to get a hold of one of those and give it a try. Our next question comes from Paul, and Paul says, I'm considering buying an M1A and 6.5 Creedmoor and was wondering what's your opinion on it for long-range semi-auto. Then Paul also follows up with saying, I already own an LR308, but I've always wanted an M1A, and now I can afford it, but wasn't sure about the performance and reliability of it. Well, Paul, the M1A has some limitations when we talk about precision rifles because of the design system. It uses a piston and an operating rod assembly, and that combined with the way that rod moves in conjunction with the barrel causes a lot of issues with harmonics, a lot of places where you can't really fully free float that barrel. Now, M1As have been used in NRA high power type competition for some time. They have been used for target shooting for ages. So they can be made to be reliable and accurate firearms. However, it takes a whole lot more effort and a whole lot more expense to make an M1A a very accurate rifle when compared to something like your LR308 or other modern AR-based systems. So really, what I would recommend anybody right now who likes the M1A and likes the system is purchase an M1A and buy it for what it is, a piece of heritage, a piece of history, and shoot it for what it is. Don't really try to make it into something that it is not. Since you have a LR308, what I would recommend is if you want the M1A, buy the M1A in 308. Shoot it however you like it. Enjoy the system, but if you really want something that you can use as a long-range precision rifle or a competition rifle, then I would take that LR308, I would swap the barrel over to a 6.5 Creedmoor barrel, and I would use that as your basis for your long-range precision gun, and not try to force the M1A into that kind of setup. Additionally, because there's a lot more to swapping the barrel over in an M1A than there is in LR308, I would recommend that you keep that M1A in 308 so you have the longest barrel life possible while, again, enjoying the system for what it is. A 308 barrel or a 6.5 Creedmoor barrel is going to get a lot less mileage than a 308 barrel, so you're going to have to replace it sooner. And again, there's a lot more to replacing the barrel on an M1A than there is on a AR type platform. So that's my recommendation. It can be made into a very accurate rifle, but you'll have to worry about things like the bedding wearing out, replacing that over time. And again, it's going to take a lot more expense and a lot more effort to get it to be as accurate as a good semi-auto AR in 6.5 Creedmoor. Our next question comes from Maysiege. Doing my first ever match at the end of March. It's a DMR match with targets out to 600. I'll be using my AR. Any last minute tips? Mostly worried about positional shooting. Well, the first thing is, if you're doing positional shooting, you really need a sling, and you need to go through and get some practice dry firing with that sling and get into your different positions. And depending upon the design of the sling, you may want to mark the sling for what adjustments you're going to need for each one of those positions. That way, if you have a stage where you know you're going to need a kneeling position or a sitting position, and you can do it slung supported, then you'll know, hey, I need to set the sling to this length to be able to utilize this position. So that will make things a whole lot quicker, and it'll take one extra thing out that you don't have to mess with on the clock. Since you are shooting with an AR and it's a DMR type match, one word of advice I'll give you is slow down. When you get into that position, make sure that you're stable, make sure you've got your breathing in check, and squeeze off those shots with the same type of intent that you would with a bolt gun. It's very easy to get into this idea with a semi-automatic rifle to just crank the shot off because you have a second shot waiting if you miss. Make those shots count, so don't just crack them off and come up with a follow-up shot. Make sure you're utilizing a good position, you're doing your breathing, your follow-through, all that stuff, and get off solid hits, and then utilize that semi-automatic system to be able to get on the next target quicker. So just some words of advice. I know I have trouble slowing down and making my shots count with a semi-automatic system because that speed does become addictive, and you want to get those shots off as quickly as you can, but that can cause you problems, and it can cause you misses in the long run. And our last question comes from Blake, and Blake asks, when preparing for a match in different state/country, what kind of preparation do you take into account for the elevation, pressure, and other various environmental effects that you may experience? Love the show. Keep up the good work. Well, Blake, mainly I rely on a ballistic computer, namely the Kestrel. And the Kestrel's got built-in weather meters, so it takes all these things into account. All I really have to worry about is making sure that I give it an accurate ballistic coefficient and an accurate muzzle velocity. If I give it those two things and then give it the appropriate time to sample the atmosphere, then it's going to adjust my ballistic curve accordingly, and I found that it is very accurate. I generally don't have a whole lot of offset based upon what the Kestrel tells me, as long as I provided accurate information going into it. So there's not really a whole lot of preparation on that side of things. Really, the preparation that I do when I'm going somewhere else is making sure that I have the right support equipment, so the right bags, tripod if needed for the match, and the appropriate clothing for the match, because that's really a big thing. If it's a place that I know dumps on us regularly, every match that I've shot there, I've gotten rained on, well, I'm going to make sure that I've got my rain gear. I'm going to make sure that I have maybe a dry insulating layer packed away, because even when you start to get into the spring and summer months, if you get drenched, then you can get cold, and you get cold out in the field, you can start to have all kinds of problems. You can get hypothermia, you can get muscle shakes that start to set in, and that all will really have an effect on your performance on the match. So my preparation is really outside of the ballistic. All the ballistic preparation I do beforehand, running the loads that I'm actually going to use for the match across a magnetospeed chronograph, so that actual lot of ammunition, I have a good muzzle velocity on it. And then I make sure that the ballistic coefficient is accurate that I'm using for those bullets. That's my general way that I look at it and my general way that I prepare. But for those of you guys that are match shooters out there, I'd love to hear, how do you prepare for a match, especially when you know you're going to be traveling great distance? Go ahead and drop a comment down below. Everybody kind of has their own match prep type routine. Usually mine is loading ammunition late into the night, the day or two right before the match, because I can never seem to prepare and load my ammunition a week or two in advance. I have no idea why. I've tried it in the past. It seems to be a common malady amongst competition shooters, where we have to wait until that last minute to actually load our ammunition. So drop a comment down below and let me know how you guys prepare for a match. And that is it for this Mail Call Mondays. This one is a little bit short, and we're pumping this out on Tuesday because when we end this, I've got to get everything wrapped up here, and then I've got to switch over so I can get on the Kelly McMillan radio show and talk to those guys. So kind of excited about that. We will leave a link down in the description below once that show is published, so you guys can go check that out. So if you have any questions over anything that we've covered on this Mail Call Mondays, or a question that you'd like to see answered on a future Mail Call Mondays, leave in the comments section down below, or you can send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you like the video, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. If you guys would like to support the content that you see on the show, we would love to have you as our patron over on Patreon, and we will leave a link for that down below. It really helps support us, and it really helps us keep pumping out this content. And until next time, get out and shoot.